If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the laws or religious laws related to business according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohajad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about business-related religious laws according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Sheikh Javed, there is a company with a network or a chain of branches selling goods to the public. Some of the items are halal, such as the imported non-halal meat, all right? This necessarily means that part of the company's income is illicit. Is it permissible to buy goods in the stores of such a company or from those stores where both halal and haram products are sold? Should one assume that it is permissible? Does receiving the change require the permission of the authorized religious authority, for it is considered property of anonymous owner? If, however, one assumes that that permission is required, do you permit those persons, those people, in fact, who buy their necessary items or things to receive the change?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As far as I understood, I suppose you just said that, okay, if the products sold by a company or a store are amalgamated, in the sense that halal and haram products are mixed up.
Yes.
And probably there is also another possibility that the owner of that store uses the money which comes from both halal and haram source. So given that situation, it is permissible to work there or to buy products from that store or not? Well, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, the general knowledge of the existence of illicit or unlawful assets among that of a company should not make someone doubt on the actually validity of shopping in that company's store, you know, unless, of course, there is, you know, one is, you know, certain that something is haram, of course. And because in modern time, of course, everything has a tag, you know, the tag is there, everything has a name, everything has a label. And though the label cannot be, there's no guarantee that the label is truly suggesting that that the product sold in the store is halal. Because according to the religious authorities, the label, the tag is the tag we can use, is not assuring, and therefore we cannot take for granted that the thing which is sold with a label, halal label or halal tag, is definitely halal. So we cannot say that the meat, for example, which is claimed to be halal, is halal. So unless there are other reasons to, there's evidence indicating that the meat is definitely halal. Now, when it comes to the assets of a company, of course, it can be mixed with halal things. But there's no objection to someone shopping from his store or working in that store and receiving wages from the owner of that store. Mm-hmm. And there's no problem for people to buy their necessary things from such a store, you know. And also there's no problem to people receiving, you know, change, as long as the whole company's assets could not be dealt with by the buyer, you know, himself, you know. This is what Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says in his fatwa.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Al-Ali al-Azim, Subhanallah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about business-related religious laws according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to work in cremating non-Muslim dead bodies and get paid for the work?
That's a good question. Muslims, Shia Muslims living in India or in Southeast Asian countries might look for a job, and they might end up finding a job like this, okay, cremating. And cremation is very common. A lot of people die, so there are few people who are ready to burn bodies and dead bodies. So according to Ayatollah Khamenei, cremating the dead body of non-Muslims is not haram. It's not haram. And there's no objection to either embarking on such work or getting paid for it. So the payment received by that by a Muslim for doing this job is, is halal. And of course, also cremating the body is halal. And this is a routine practice. Of course, according to Islam, according to Muslims, burning the body of a human being is not permissible. But okay, when it comes to the Buddhists, they burn their dead bodies as a sign of respect for that dead body, and there's no problem in getting paid for the work one does, and that work could be cremation, cremating that the dead body.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your nice answer. Well, another question would be, is it permissible, Sheikh Javid, for a person who can earn a living with his own effort to ask others for help and live off them?
Well, of course, it's not good, and it's not, advisable at all for a person to do such thing. When someone can work, can earn, make a living, and can have a decent life, why should he go out asking others or requesting others for help and also depend on other people? Islam highly discourages such a practice, and people who do such things, who beg others, they have no self-esteem, and the people do not respect them. People do not consider that they are people of dignity, and therefore such people have no respect in the eyesight and the sight of other people. So that's why Islam discourages such practice.
I see. Another question, Sheikh Javid, is about women, in fact, working in the jewelry industry or jewelry market. Is it permissible for women to earn a living out of trading in jewelry?
Well, there's nothing haram. There's nothing wrong with earning through the sale of jewelry or working in a jewelry market. For a woman, there's no objections. But there could be such an objection to a man selling jewelry to women because his clients are ladies coming, and they just come and they wear bangles or bracelets, and sometimes they don't observe hijab. And sometimes I have seen myself in Pakistan, women go to the jewelry market and they buy bangles or rings, and they give their hands to the man, non-mahram man, and ask the man to put it on the woman's finger or around the bangle around her wrist. That's absolutely forbidden, and that's why I think this job can be handled. The sale of jewelry items or gold ornaments can be handled tackled by ladies rather than men, because the clients are ladies, and men are not the ones who buy. They are ladies who buy.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers to the questions that are raised, and thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me and the rest of the team and the crew here. From the you know English radio, we say Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن.